Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, maybe you woke up and today was just another day, but for the Chicago Urban Art Retreat Center, today was the day to tackle a dream. The Chicago Urban Art Retreat Center works tirelessly to enable all interested people's action response to social injustice. I'm trying to help Quark become wheelchair accessible, something that we have long wanted to do. It's going to cost $9,700 to make this dream a reality, but if we all give a little, we can go a long way. Won't you join me in promoting tolerance and fighting ableism today? Donating and spreading the word will be so helpful. I'm going to give you two links that you can follow to read about this fundraiser and how you can donate. First, you can go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/urbanartretreat, to find the link. Oh, here is a very long link. www.generosity.com/community-fundraising/promoting-tolerance-fighting-ableism/x/1513-7130. Thank you.
Hello, everybody. It's Wednesday, and it's time for Art and Social Justice Issues. This is your host, Diana Long, and I'm glad to be with you. For those of you listening today, I'd like to introduce our guest today, Mr. Paul Norrington. Hi, Paul. How are you doing?
I'm well. How are you, Diana?
Thank you. Thank you so much. So, Paul, I want to get right to it. So I know that you went on a trip recently and visited the East Coast, and it looks like you went to Little Rock, Birmingham, Alabama, Atlanta, Savannah. You were in South Carolina, D.C., Philadelphia, and in Harlem, New York. So how long did your whole trip take you, Paul?
It was 2 weeks and 2 days.
2 weeks and 2 days. Wow. You sure got a lot in there. And did you decide ahead of time where you were going? You must have to have gone to these special places.
Well, originally I was going to drive to D.C. for the opening of the National African American History Museum on the 24th.
Were all sold out? I know they were all sold out. Did you have a ticket ahead of time?
Yes, I did.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool. Okay.
And I also wanted to go to Atlanta to visit my grandniece on her 6-month birthday.
Okay.
So combine the two.
Okay. And so you really didn't plan ahead of time these other stops that you made, or?
Well, yes. Once I realized that we needed to combine the two trips, that's how we planned the trip.
Okay. All right. And what form of transportation did you take? Were you driving?
Yes, we drove over 5,000 miles.
Wow. So you sent me a list of the stops that you made, or at least the stops that you wanted me to know about. And so I thought we would kind of go one at a time through these stops, and you could tell our listeners a little bit about what that was like. I think it's just so fascinating that you were able to fit all these in, and they're all such meaningful stops. Like they're like the stops of history, and then you squeeze in the stop in D.C. at the African American Museum that just opened. So you had that you stopped at Little Rock Central High School, where in 1957 students were challenged and defeated the Jim Crow segregation. Now, did that just happen, or were you near and so you decided to go and see that location, or tell me about that?
Well, I have family in Little Rock, Arkansas, and that's where we were going. Plus, that's the ancestral home of my parents, Arkansas. So we were going there, and then I realized that Little Rock Central High was there, and I'd never been there before. So we included that. And then once we made that decision, that pretty much determined the other stops that we were going to make on our way to the museum opening.
I see. Okay. Well, when you got to Little Rock Central High School, what did it look like?
Well, it looked pretty much like all the old newsreels that I would see of the incident in 1957. The grounds are well kept. In fact, it was one of the security guards that took our picture in front of the high school.
Okay. What was going on, if anything?
Well, nothing was going on the day that we were there. However, I believe that there was some type of anniversary that occurred right around that time, and there was another anniversary further on in the trip that we had just missed also. There were a lot of anniversaries along the way, pointing out the historical value of or significance of the places we were stopping.
Okay. Well, is the school currently being used as a school or no?
Oh, yes. Yes, it
okay.
is.
All
it's
right.
a functioning high school.
Was school in session at the time that you stopped?
It was.
Okay.
The students
were
inside.
Were you able to talk to anybody?
No. There were no students outside when we got there. We went during the day after visiting my cousin, who, it turns out, actually went to school with several of the students who were part of that protest.
Really? Huh.
Yes. So, I'll probably be posting this later, but I did a video interview of her pointing out her classmates and what they did with the back in 1957.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe. If that's okay, maybe we can pick that up and post that on our Facebook page when you post that information.
Well, that would be great.
Okay, cool, because I think that would be very interesting to our listeners. You go on to say that you stopped at the 16th Street Baptist Church in Birmingham, Alabama, where in 1963 the four little girls were killed by that KKK bomb. What was that
yeah.
like? What did you see? What happened there in terms of your visit this year?
That was on our way from Little Rock to Atlanta, and as we were driving along, we saw the exit for Birmingham and realized the significance of Birmingham and in the civil rights movement. So we stopped there, and the most significant place we could think of in Birmingham was the 16th Street Baptist Church.
Mm-hmm.
Again, there was no. We were there during the day when everybody was at work in the middle of the week, so there was no one around.
Mm-hmm. Were there any plaques or statues or anything talking about what had happened there?
Yes, there's a very significant, what would you call it? I guess a plaque. It's pretty elaborate, pointing out what had happened there. And then along the side of the building, there's a memorial for the four little girls. And a monument that was also set up. And again, we had just missed an anniversary date. I think the day before there was some type of anniversary date there.
you make these stops, did you have any kind of feeling of what had taken place there, or was that kind of hard to get in touch with because it was kind of life goes on, you know, you show up, nothing's really going on, kind of hard to get in touch with, or what would you say?
Oh, boy. I guess putting all of these stops together gave me a feeling of connection to history, but each individual stop kind of stood on its own, and I guess there is a life goes on type of feeling to it. So nothing jumped out at me at each one, but the accumulation of all of them had an impact.
Okay. Well, you go on to say that you stopped at the Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta, which is the spiritual home of Dr. King's family and also where his funeral took place. What can you say about that stop?
We got there pretty late at night. We were we've been there several times before, gone inside the sanctuary, and there's a brand new church that's built across the street along with a museum for Dr. King. Also, right next to the church is the burial site for Dr. King and his wife Coretta, along with another museum. It's that whole area is pretty well dedicated to Dr. King and the civil rights movement.
Yeah. So you'd already been there several times.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you're making some incredible stops here. You say that you stopped at the First African Baptist Church of Savannah, which was established in 1788 by a congregation.
Yes.
And it was built by the free and enslaved in 1859. Tell me about that.
Well, if you look at the picture, that building is the building that was built in 1859 by both free and the enslaved. And according to the we took a tour while we were there. And according to the tour guide, the building was built at night after the field hands left the field after working all day. Then they'd come and work on their church at night. And here we are many, many, many years later, and it's still standing strong.
Mm-hmm. What's it built of? Is it stone?
Brick. It's a brick building. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Savannah is built around squares, like public park type squares. And the church is the main building in one of those squares. It's very significant to Savannah, and Savannah takes great pride in that building.
So it was very well kept up, and the grounds were nice and that kind of thing?
Oh, yes, yes.
Uh-huh. Well, and what was the neighborhood like around there?
Oh. Hmm.
Was it a residential neighborhood, or?
It's kind of a mixed-use neighborhood. There's nightlife at this particular square, along with residents, some small businesses, but again the square that it was in is the central park, the park right in the middle of the square that attracts all the attention, and then the attractions around the square, which includes a restaurant and the church and other attractions.
Mm-hmm. Wow. We're going to need to take a commercial break, but next we're going to talk to you about your visit in South Carolina with AME Church. We'll be right back after this commercial. Hang on, don't go anywhere. Just a minute.
Let me tell you about the Peace Parks of North London project. We are creating a peace park from a vacant lot, one part of the park at a time, one weekend at a time. We are volunteers wanting to make a difference. The park will be for the people of Chicago, especially the residents of North London, to honor Black heroes. Would you like to help? Please RSVP for the date and time. You can help by leaving a message on 773-542-9126 or send email to contact@urbanartretreat.com. Join us Saturdays and Sundays from noon to 4 p.m. each weekend at 2101 South Spalding and 21st Street.
Okay, we're back from commercial break. Still with me, Paul?
I am.
Okay, good. I really appreciate your going through these stops you made. I'm a very visual person, so I appreciate your descriptions. Let's see, you went on to South Carolina and visited the Mother Emanuel AME Church. You say in your notes that in 2015, the unprecedented display of agape, godly love by the families of the Charleston Nine who were killed in a racist mass. You want to talk about that a little bit? Tell the viewers about that.
Well, there were there was a prayer meeting at Mother Emanuel. I believe it was on a Wednesday evening. I'm not sure. And this young man walked in who none of them had ever seen before. Yet they invited him in. And he joined in with the prayer service, and at some point he pulled out a gun and started shooting, and he killed nine of the church members. Well, the day after, of course, the media flocked down there. The day after, the families of the slain, almost to a person, showed forgiveness and love. And it was a genuine forgiveness that really touched the hearts of many people around the world. It was that forgiveness that set this apart from other incidents to the point where President Obama came down and went to their spoke at the funeral for those nine. It was very touching.
Yeah, I remember hearing that the family members were so forgiving, and well, that's really tough. That's really a hard thing. Mm-hmm. Very impressive. Very impressive. And so that was in South Carolina. What city was that?
That was in Charleston.
Charleston, right.
Yes. Yeah.
So you actually went to that church. We all saw it on television because of the news coverage. What was it like walking in there?
Well, there's a lot of work going on around there. I believe that the attention brought to that area, not just from the violence but from the love of the families, has caused a great deal of interest in that area. They've renamed the entire area, I think, the Mother Emanuel Historic District. And now there is new buildings, building going on there, and preservation of some older buildings that I believe were not paid much attention to before this happened.
So some good came out of all of that forgiveness.
Yes, yes.
The area right around it. Yeah. Mm. Well, thank you for talking to us about that. Did you actually attend the grand opening of the National African American History Museum?
I did. There were special guests who were in one section of the mall at outside of the museum, and that's where the president spoke. But the main body of the people who were there were in another section, and we could see the museum, and they had giant screens up so we could see the ceremony going on. The last time I was in D.C. was for the 50th anniversary of the March on Washington, and the type of people that were at both things was the same. It was multiracial and multigenerational, and everybody, there was a sense of unity and brotherhood in both of those crowds. There was a general feeling of celebration at both the celebrations.
I had thought about going to that myself, but my mom was supposed to be visiting at the time, so that must have been really incredible. Did you hear how many people were estimated to be there in D.C. at that time attending?
No, I did not. No, because once we left there, we were on our way again.
It looks like you went to Philadelphia.
On our way from D.C. to New York, we stopped in Philadelphia.
Okay.
And just a brief time to drive past the Liberty Hall. And we made a brief stop at City Hall, which is an amazing building that was built back in the 1700s. If you get a chance, take a look at Philadelphia City Hall.
And you made a stop at the Mother Bethel African Methodist Episcopal Church, which was founded in 1794. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
What did that look like?
And according to all information, it was built in 1794, and that first building was torn down in the 1800s and rebuilt on the same spot, and that's the building that stands there today.
Mm-hmm. What is the building made from?
Again, it was brick. Mm-hmm.
And then you went on to Harlem, Mother AME Zion Church in Harlem, which was founded in 1796. It's the oldest black church in the state of New York.
Yes.
Is that right?
And we depended on Google quite a bit. We would get to before we'd get there, we'd say, what is the oldest black church in Philadelphia? What is the oldest black church in New York? And then let it direct us to it. So I didn't have pre-knowledge of these places. I was just learning as we were going along.
That is really cool. You had quite an interesting trip. And I know you went to some other places, too. I'd like to kind of talk with you a bit about the value of travel. I know that we're going to be doing a presentation here at the Urban Art Retreat on the 29th, Saturday, the last Saturday of this month, with a presentation by Melinda Brown. And we're going to be talking about people stepping out of their comfort zone, you know, seeing the rest of the world, realizing you're not alone, and visiting other cultures, and et cetera. But, you know, after having just been on this trip, what would you say you got out of your travels, or why would you recommend traveling to other people? Can you comment on that?
Well, it's been a pretty long established fact in many of our neighborhoods that some people never really leave their neighborhood and live a pretty confined life And so the impression can be formed that there isn't much else to the world other than what we see right around us. But by traveling, it opens up many things that the world has to offer and gives a sense that we have a right to be in those places. We have a right to to be a part of that, and that we are part of a larger thing, not just our neighborhood, but the city and the state and the country and the world. I have many friends who've been all over the world, and it gives a larger view to life and your place in life.
Right.
It's very important, I believe, in establishing or strengthening the sense of belonging.
Well, I could not have said it better. Thank you so much, Paul, and I really appreciate your being with us today. I think that you have contributed quite a bit to our show, and I know that the people listening have gotten a lot out of it. I hope that you'll be with us on October 29th when we have our travel talk with Melinda, and that people can come and maybe see some of the photographs that you took on your trip. I hope you'll come with us on October 29th.
Well,
that is my
intention. Thank you very much, Diana.
Thank you. Have a great rest of the day, Paul. Thank you so much.
You too. Bye.
Okay. Bye, Paul. So that was Paul Norrington. He lives in North Lawndale neighborhood of Chicago. A wonderful thing. And one way to learn about it is to read in books, but another way is to actually visit some of the places that you learn about in school or that you didn't learn about in school. So I hope everyone will come with us in our travel talk with Melinda on October 29th. That's a Saturday. It'll be from 2 to 4:30 right here at the Urban Art Retreat, 1957 South Spalding Avenue, corner of 21st, because we're going to be with an insider who's in the travel industry. We're going to learn some of the inside scoop, and we're also going to talk a lot more about the value of travel. We're going to see some of the images from Paul Norrington's trip that he just talked about. He's going to be with us, and he's going to share some photographs and more talk about his trip. And we're going to talk about the importance of traveling and getting out of your comfort zone and going out and about and seeing the rest of the world, even if the rest of the world is downtown or up north or down south or east or west of where you are. We hope that you'll be traveling soon, and that you'll have good travels, and we'll see you soon on the radio. Thank you for visiting with us. This is Diana signing off, Art and Social Justice Issues. Bye.